Blog Talk Radio.
High and higher. I'm going to call Brother Woodruff around to do a song. We're going to encourage every last one of you in this last and evil days. Don't give up. For God's sake, be steadfast. That simply means don't give up. Unshakable. Anchor yourself in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And don't give up.
Good evening and welcome again. This is Pastor Brooks running a little late tonight. God bless you, Sister Cooper. You're on. Praise God. Can anybody hear me? Okay. Can you hear me now? What about now? Can you hear me now?
Hello?
It's my problem. Let me see what's going on.
You that can feel it right now, lean on your neighbor and tell your neighbor he's here right now. He's here right now.
Okay, can you hear me now, Sister Cook?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Okay, we were having some difficulties. Had a couple of people online, but been dropping out. Sorry about the delay tonight. I had to run to Millington, and then I was running into problems getting away.
Yes,
but again, thank everyone for being online tonight. Sister Cooper, will you lead us in prayer?
Okay. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, I'm come thanking you, oh God. I'm thanking you for the goodness and your mercy. Lord, I just thank you for the word, oh God. Oh God, let your word go out among all, oh God. Be able to hear and obey the spirit of God. God, you be able to just do it in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we just asking you to touch minds and hearts now. Stir now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, you can do all things but fail. There's nothing too hard for you. Lord, I just ask you for peace, oh God, peace at mind, peace in the home, in the school, and in the church homes, oh God, peace, oh God, even in marriage, oh God. Lord, we're just speaking peace now among you now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, continue to bless us and keep us in your will and your ways. In Jesus' name, we give you all glory and praise. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, welcome to Bible study with Brooks. Thank God for tonight. Also, I want to encourage you to continue to be praying, continue to be fasting. Sunday, I asked that you be praying for my sister-in-law, Sister Dorothy Antoine in South Carolina. I think she is doing a little bit better, but I ask that you continue to still pray for her. And thank you for those of you who answered the call to get in touch with me about getting your tithes and offerings in. Snow is gone. Thank God for the snow. Now we're getting ready to hit the 60-degree weather. Somebody had mentioned that the weather here is bipolar, that is up and down, below freezing this week. This weekend we had snow on the ground, then tomorrow and Thursday temperature will be almost 70, almost fishing weather in December. But that's a great thing about living here in the South, in Tennessee. Get a little taste of winter weather, but you don't have to deal with it for long. Again, thank you for being here. Let's go into our Bible study. We're continuing from Sunday. On Sunday, we were looking at Matthew, 4th chapter, and Jesus going through temptation. And he was dealing with temptation. Satan came at him, and we as God's people always have to remember whatever Satan tried with Jesus, he'll try the same thing with us. And Jesus went through his temptation, and he was able to come out victorious. I don't know if any of you looked at the game on last night, but most people in America were expecting Alabama to win. You had a lot of people who were hoping that Clemson would be victorious, but they really had no expectation of Clemson winning the game. They expected Alabama to win. Well, why did they expect Alabama to win? They expected Alabama, since they had been winning all along. They were undefeated, been at the top of the heap in college football for the last 6 years, winning the championship several times. And so there was just that expectation that since they had done it all the time, they would be able to come in and do it again. But with persistence, Clemson was able to endure during the game. They were behind by a pretty large score considering who they were playing, prevailed in the end. And sometimes in life, it doesn't matter how you start out, but how you end up. And this is how we get the victory over the enemy. The enemy, Satan, everybody expects us to be defeated by him. Why? Satan has been around a long time. Satan's been at this thing a while. He knows the tricks. He's been at the top of the heap. But if we be like Clemson, just continue to do what we're supposed to do, in the end, at the very end, we will get the victory. And that's where Clemson finally got the victory, right at the end, scored the winning play with 1 second left on the clock. And so we can be victorious in this life if we stay focused. So if we deal with temptations, and today I wanted to talk about how to really deal with it, how to deal with temptation, how to confront the enemy, and how to be victorious. I looked at and share something with you from Dr. Charles Stanley. You may know him from on TV, the ministry In Touch. He's out of Atlanta. And one of the sermons that he preached, he dealt with, and I think it was 8 ways to deal with temptation wisely. Now, 5 of these steps that he talked about, things that we do that we're pretty good at, we are aware of. But there were 3 other things, 3 other points that he made in his sermon that I want to look at tonight would help us to be overcomers and help us to be more victorious. His 8 points were, number 1, take responsibility. You are responsible for what you do with temptation. We understand that. We know that. If the enemy comes to us with a temptation, it's up to us to decide whether we are going to resist or whether we're going to give in. One other point, this 3rd point, was identify areas of weakness in your life. Recognize which aspects of your life are easy targets for Satan's attacks. We understand that everybody has different temptations. What's tempting to one will not be tempting to another. Some people can walk by the liquor store and start sweating because they had a hard time being delivered from alcohol. Then there are others who could walk in the liquor store and not fret, not have a desire for anything, but it's just the individual temptation. Then another point was visualize yourself doing the right thing. Instead of fantasizing about the pleasures of sin, imagine yourself pleasing God. Most of us, we do that. We kind of think about God is looking at us and God has his eyes on us. We remember the scripture, behold, his eyes are every place, beholding the good and the evil that men do. We understand the question, where can you go to get away from God? He's everywhere. And so we think about these things. God is looking at us, and how should I function? Another point he made, read the word of God. You won't be able to defend yourself against the enemy's attacks if you don't know the scriptures. Again, we understand that. That's what Jesus did. Every time the enemy came at him with a temptation, not only would he resist the temptation, but he would also quote the scripture. So we have to be able to quote the scripture, know the scripture, and that will give us victory over the enemy. And the other point, another point he made, make prayer a vital part of your life. Having fellowship and conversation with the Lord each morning strengthens and alerts you to Satan's attacks during the day. And of course, we understand that prayer is important. The Bible said, men ought to pray always and not to faint. But there were three other points that he made in this message that I wanted to look at that sometimes we don't take into full consideration in our walk with God and in our dealing with temptation and in our spiritual warfare with Satan. And we have to understand, we are in warfare. In warfare, there are sometimes periods of no conflict, de-escalation of conflict. Sometimes there's a truce. But just because there is a truce and agreement that there will not be fighting for a period of time, anybody can break the truce and hostilities can take place once again. Just because there is no battle going on does not mean that there is no war taking place. And so sometimes with us, the enemy will not attack us. He will cease with the battles, and then we get the idea that the war is over and let down our guard. And when we let down our guard, then the enemy comes in like a flood. But these three points I want to look at tonight. One point he made, he said, focus on the big picture. A temptation offers a small picture of the pleasures and profits of sin, but God wants us to see big consequences. And so if we would get to this, and as Charles Stanley says, focus on the big picture. We're dealing with temptation. Sometimes our minds and our eyes focus on the temptation, and that's all we can see. What I can get if I submit to what's being offered to me. How can I have fun? What pleasure I can get out of this? But that's looking at the little picture. We're just focused on sin and the consequences or the things that we can get out of it. But if we begin to step back and look at the big picture and see and realize that, yes, I can have some fun if I do this, but there are going to be some consequences. It's not a thing that there might be consequences. There's not a situation where something bad may happen. There is a guarantee that something is not going to come out right. Something bad is going to happen. For the scripture said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So when the enemy comes tempting us, we need to look at the big picture. What could be the consequences if I forfeit my integrity and then fall to the temptation of sin? What could happen? What's the consequences? And so when we begin to look at that, then we will become strong and back up. The woman looks good, the man looks good, but what's the consequences of sleeping with the woman? What's the consequences of sleeping with the man? Well, one consequence could be what? You end up pregnant. Then there's 18 years of child support. There's 18 years of trying to raise a child by yourself. There could be you catch a disease. And I made a statement in church a few weeks ago. And I made the statement, how did I put it? We have all these sexual diseases, STDs now. That when I was a child, all we had was G, C, and S. Gonorrhea and syphilis. But I tell you, but now you got just about A through Z. You got AIDS, chlamydia, and just herpes, HIV, all these different types of sexually transmitted diseases. And some of these diseases you get, they'll be with you for the rest of your life. This is a consequence of sin, and we don't think about that. We look at the person, I'm lusting, and that would be a fun thing to do. But just because it's fun does not mean that it's safe. And if we begin to look at the big picture, what could happen? Then we would not yield to temptation. Being temptation does not look exciting because we see the consequences of what could take place. Remember David, when he looked at the woman on top of the building taking a bath. And he looked and he looked and he looked, and the woman looked good. He asked around, who is this woman? What's her name? Found out who she was, found out that she was the wife of one of his officers in the military. But he invited her over. She was mesmerized by the king. He slept with her, and she became pregnant with a child. Well, what did David do? David decided when she found out that she was pregnant, she told the king. The king sent for the husband to come home from the battle, made arrangements for him to get a furlough, and told the man, go to your house and enjoy your house for a while before you go back to battle. King wakes up the next day. Where does he find this man? The man hadn't gone home, but he stayed at the palace. David asked him, why did you go home? Why aren't you with your family? And he said, well, I don't feel right because the men who I fight with, the men who are in the service with me, they can't be with their family. They can't have a furlough. Since they're going through hardship, I'm going to go through hardship as well. So he didn't go home. That plan was messed up. So David had to come up with another plan. And that plan was, I would tell them, next time you get in battle, put him on the forefront. When the battle gets hot, have everybody to draw back and let him get killed. So that was a consequence. But if David had looked and realized that if I go and do this, this woman may have a baby, then I got to go and try to cover all this up. If he had looked at the big picture, he would have looked and turned his head and went and done something else. So begin to focus on the big picture. As he said, a temptation offers a small picture of the pleasures and profits of sin, but God always wants us to see the big consequences. Another thing, a point he made, he used this acronym, HALT, H-A-L-T. And four things he said with his acronym, HALT. Never let yourself get too hungry. Never let yourself get too angry. Never let yourself get too lonely. Never let yourself get too tired. How did Esau mess up? He got, too hungry. And he was willing to trade his birthright for some soup, some porridge, a meal. And when he gave up his birthright, it angered God, and Esau lost his blessing. So we're not to let ourselves get too hungry. Now, when Jesus was dealing with Satan, the first thing that Satan dealt with was turn these stones into bread, for he knew Jesus was hungry. But even though Jesus had been fasting for 40 days, he still stood the test. And some of us, we won't fast long. We can't fast long. We're having diseases. We're taking medications as we get older. So we're not fasting as we once were. And so sometimes we get these physical hungers, but also there could be spiritual hungers that will lead you into sin. And we have to be careful of those, not only the physical, but also the spiritual. Never let yourself get too angry. What happens when we get angry? We want to lash out. We think about ways of getting even. Our mouth goes to talking, I ought to kill you, I'll kill you. And as God's people, sometimes we don't mean these things, but if you keep repeating them over and over and over again, you just may cross the line. The L in the halt, never let yourself get too lonely. This is one of the areas that the enemy is able to tempt us with. We get lonely, and we begin to yearn for attention. And what does the enemy do? He sends somebody along who says the right words and makes us feel good, lifts our spirit, tell us how wonderful we are, we would be so much better if we get away from this person. We need to change our outlook. We need to hang out with them. And before we know it, we've allowed loneliness to get us in an area where we don't need to be. And the fourth thing was never let yourself get too tired. When you get tired, you begin to see things that's not there. You'd be like driving down the street and you get so tired. You get to the light and you fall asleep and you're wondering, how long have I been asleep? You're driving down the street And thank God they have put those ruts on the side of the road when they construct a road now. So when you, if you drift off, you hear that noise, boom, 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 and alerts you and wakes you back up. So when you're tired, you can make a lot of mistakes. And then this last one I want to deal with or talk about is what we're afraid to do. This one we are mighty afraid to do it. And this point was, make yourself accountable to a friend. Find someone you trust and then contact that person when you feel tempted. We are afraid to make ourselves accountable. But when we learn to do this, this will help us to overcome temptation, because when we're going through, we're struggling and we're debating, shouldn't I, and the temptation begins to look so good and looks appealing, if we would call people who are spiritual, they will help us to see the big picture, speak to us with godly wisdom, and we will walk away from that temptation. But if the people that we are making our friends are not spiritual, then that friend is going to tell us to go ahead and do what you want to do. You're grown. You know what you want. It's between you and God. And they will encourage us to do wrong rather than resisting and doing right. And so we thank God for these points. So we want to talk about these tonight. Focus on the big picture, halt, and make yourself accountable. Before I go any further, anybody have a comment on what we've been talking about tonight? Everybody's mic is open. Okay. I'm hearing somebody, but I couldn't quite make it out. Maybe it was somebody in the background. Sister Cooper, did you have something to say? That wasn't
no, sir.
You, was it?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. So as we begin to, again, go back and focus on the big picture. The big picture, I'm looking at, what does God see? That big picture. Everything, what can I get by yielding to temptation? I can get a moment of pleasure, but I also can get a lifetime of trouble. I can feel good for an hour, or I can be miserable for 20 or 30 years. So we have to look at what am I really going to get out of it? Am I going to get a blessing, or am I going to get a headache? And we begin to look at life like this, we begin to make better choices. And a lot of times this is what happens with us. We think with our emotions rather than reasoning with our spirit. We allow the flesh to make spiritual decisions for us rather than making spiritual decisions for our flesh. Scripture said that there is a battle between what? The spirit and the flesh. spirit is desiring to do good, but that flesh is desiring to please itself. I think it was James that talked about those lusts, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These areas, these things cause us to not be able to resist temptation, and we ultimately yield to the temptation and make our life be more difficult than it need to be. So temptation is a situation that we're going to deal with the rest of our lives. And as we overcome one temptation, the enemy will come with another. And we always have to realize that the enemy will not try to tempt you with something that he understands that you are not going to fall for. All of us at one time were agents of Satan. Satan had us at one time. The Bible said that we were born into sin. Before we gave our life to Christ, before we got saved, we were pawns of Satan. We did the things that Satan wanted us to do. We lived the lifestyle that Satan wanted us to live. And so Satan knows us from our past life. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our desires. He knows what makes us move, what makes us groove. And just because you got saved does not mean that you don't like those things anymore. Salvation gets you to understand that the things that you were liking may not have been wholesome, and you have to change your attitude toward the things of God and learn to resist those things that you were desiring. And so it doesn't mean that you don't like them anymore because you got saved. It just means that now that I'm saved, I understand how to keep my body in subjection. I understand how to moderate my life. I understand how to be an overcomer and not fall for every temptation that the enemy will bring my way. Praise God. Anybody have a comment right now? Well, hold on just a minute, and I'll be right back.
It's about, we're doing good. About time for a war cry, though, I think. You know I don't go nowhere unless I do the war. We need 1 minute to just kind of change the atmosphere. Just, you got me there? Sure, you're not sitting next to somebody who's defeated.
Y'all better clap your hands. This is a war cry for Bishop. God giving him victory and good success. We're coming against any enemy that will come against him.
I think you ought to get your feet ready.
You got to clap your hands. You got to clap your hands. clap your hands. You gotta clap your hands.
Okay, thank God for each of you. At this time, we're going to conclude tonight's Bible study. We'll come back in here Thursday night for a short study. But I encourage you to continue to pray, continue to hold on, pray for the church. Pray for God's people that God's will be done. I want to encourage you, before we go, did anybody have anything they needed to say? Get everybody's mic is open.
Yes, I have something to make an announcement.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to make this announcement that we're still having prayer online on Monday evening at 7 o'clock. And think about it, I'm going to give you the comfort number now. The comfort number is 641-715-3580. 641-715-3580. The access code is 315-790. It's out every Monday evening at 7 o'clock. Looking for you to, you know, join in and be with us.
Okay, what was that number again?
The access code is not the access.
Not the
code,
access. The phone number. Yeah, the conference call number. What was it?
641-715-3580.
Okay. All right. So Monday night prayer, Tuesday and Thursday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. here on Blog Talk. All right. Anybody else? Nothing else? Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come again to study and to be in fellowship. I pray that you would bless each and every soul that's on the lines tonight. I pray that you would give us guidance, that you would give us strength. Lord, touch every home, touch every heart. Yeah. Come against the enemy as he tries to sift us like wheat. But Lord, help us to be strong. Help us to be overcomers. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. And amen. All right. See you Thursday.
Bible say? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, you may be there too. I'm gonna hold on. I won't let go of my faith. Try to hold me back. See through it all.